Shadowcast, episode 32. This week's story, Souls in Snowboarding, by Julian Adorne. Julian's been a writer since elementary school, when his third grade teacher made the class write a fantasy story apiece. Since then, Julian's written novels and short stories, and is currently dabbling in screenplays. He's a creative writing and marketing major from CU Boulder. When not writing, Julian works with Environmental Colorado to save the world. Our reader today is J.A. Souders. J.A. Souders is a YA author who lives in the land of sunshine and palm trees with her husband, their two children, and their trusty four-legged companion. She first began writing at the age of 13, when she not only befriended the monsters under her bed, but created worlds for them to play together. Because she never grew up, she decided she'd put her imaginary friends to work and started writing. With that, I give you Souls in Snowboarding, by Julian Adorne, read by J.A. Souders.
The man-shaped creature walked through the big room, casually drifting through the crowd of friends and fans. People congregated in groups, sprawled on couches and padded chairs. Hot teenage girls draped over young guys. Warm light from the three chandeliers gave the wood walls a ruddy glow. Music boomed, blaring through the huge house. The bass, cranked up through a dozen subwoofers, made his chest reverberate like a plucked guitar string. "Dude, you were awesome out there!" Anthony drank in the adoration like wine. The speaker, a tall guy, spiked blonde hair, gestured him over. "Thanks, man." He moved to join the kids' group, a dozen college-age fans, tanned and drunk, clustered in a circle in an open space between a couch and two chairs. A couple of girls moved aside, and he squeezed between them. He slipped an arm over one shoulder, and she pressed close against him. Joy bubbled in him, and he almost laughed in an upwelling of pleasure. This was his life, throwing wild parties every night. Girls fighting for a chance to screw him. Not that sex did anything for him physically, of course, but the adoration it represented made his blood sing. He caught his reflection in one guy's sunglasses and basked in the beauty of his form. Strong, young, desirable. Damn, he thought. His previous bodies had been all right, but he'd nailed it this time. "So what are you guys talking about?" he asked. "You, man," one of the guys said. "You dominated that tournament." Anthony grinned. "What can I say? I'm just a god among men." Everyone laughed. "I can't believe you won by like a minute," one of the girls next to him said. She stroked his muscled arm. "Are you joking?" Anthony asked. He flashed a smile to take the sting out. "My competition was pathetic. Half those guys couldn't even mount a board." The girl laughed. It was true, though. He had just won nationals, the most prestigious snowboarding race in the country, and his foes were a joke. He hadn't even felt the need to kill anyone. "Dude, thirsty?" A man across from him, blue-eyed, shirtless, gestured to the coors in Anthony's hand. Anthony cursed himself and took a drink. The bitter stuff slid down his throat. "You gotta get drunk tonight. After that performance on the slopes, you deserve it." Anthony smirked. He doubted there was enough alcohol in the entire house to get a creature like him tipsy. But he took another drink. "Are you gonna do the Snowboard World Cup in Maine?" someone asked. "Of course," he said. He raked back his hair and glanced around. "I'll win, too." "I don't know about that," the redhead under his arm teased. "You're good, but there's this new guy, Mark. I hear he's a genius in the snow." "I hear you're an ignorant bitch," Anthony snapped. The girl jerked like she'd been slapped, and Anthony cursed his loss of temper. But he stroked her hair apologetically, and she sank back against him. "Mark's just another kid who thinks he has talent. Don't worry, I'll crush him." He had heard of Mark himself. The kid was good, fast as hell on a snowboard. He was favored over Anthony by about a minute. Anthony didn't worry about it. He hadn't lost in 3 years. He wasn't going to start now. He couldn't kill the kid, he thought. He had done it before, but if too many of his competition went missing, then the cops might start to connect the dots. But there were other ways. Threats and naked coercion were easy, or his favorite means, a substance he had concocted that would make a mortal's life worse than hell. If he could give it to Mark, then his competition on the slopes would go back to being non-existent. He raked back his hair and stared across the party. Girls lounged on leather couches that cost more than mortals rent. The redhead squirmed and sighed against his chest. He had built this glorious life for himself, but one loss on the slopes and it would vanish like an LSD hallucination, his friends off to fawn over the next champion. One loss. Mark could do that to him. He snarled at the thought. Mark shook his head at the cinematic vomit spewing across the 40-foot screen and let his daydreams resurface. In his mind, he boarded down the mountain, dodging trees and sliding past the competition. He grinned as an announcer draped a gold medallion over his head, letting the vaunted image mask the film before his eyes. The time traveler's wife wasn't something he wanted more exposure to than he could help. One of the couples, two seats away, started making out, passion apparently too strong to be contained by decorum. He groaned. "Damn it, be quiet." Next to him, Allie was enjoying the movie. "Anthony wouldn't have this problem," a voice in his head whispered. "Anthony would have bought out the whole damn theater, ensured the privacy for a perfect date." Envy flared and he pushed the thought away. The movie ended. Mark and Allie streamed out with other couples, conversation lost in the babble bouncing off close walls. It didn't go quiet until they stepped out of the theater into the parking lot. Cool winter air slapped his face. She shivered. He looked at her, taking in her blue sleeveless dress that accentuated her breasts. She looked too beautiful to cover up, but goosebumps prickled on her smooth skin, and he sighed. "Here." He shrugged out of his jacket and gave it to her. She slipped it on. "I can't believe our anniversary's in like a month," she said as they walked to his 95 Honda. He opened the door for her, and she smiled and got in. "1 year, baby." He hopped in the driver's seat and hit the gas, tried not to think about Anthony's Ferrari cutting across the parking lot like a demon. "So what should we do for our 1 year?" she asked. "I'm not sure. I was thinking something small, just the two of us." "Oh no," she whined. She bounced up and down in her seat. "I was hoping a party." He made equivocal noises, unwilling to take the smile out of her blue eyes with a flat rejection. "Come on, it'll be fun," she said. Her face was beaming. "It's just after the World Cup. We can make it coincide with your win." He turned onto a major boulevard and sighed. Cars swarmed about him, flashing headlights and vague outlines in the night. "I'm sorry, it's just... you know how I am at parties. We've tried this." "They're fun," she pleaded. She would know. "You just have to relax. Get drunk and let yourself have a good time. Like last weekend, when me and Katie got so crunked and went sledding. It was awesome." He hadn't heard this story. He listened, fascinated, as always, by her life, and depressed he couldn't share this aspect of it with her. Maybe she would have been better off with Anthony. He groaned helplessly at the thought. The 3-time World Cup champion had been in the news for his nightlife. "I could try," he allowed. "Once my off-season starts, I could at least have a beer. Give revelry another shot." "Awesome!" She stroked his muscled abdomen, and he caught her arm, traced his fingers over her smooth skin. "I'll turn you into a party animal yet, baby." "Never gonna happen." He smiled, but his heart sank at the bleak truth. He could start partying if he forced himself. But he wasn't going to be fun. Couldn't be the social butterfly he was convinced she wanted. He slid to a stop at a red light. "So are you excited for the World Cup?" Allie's words cut through his thoughts. "You have no idea." He turned to meet her gaze. His eyes gleamed. "I've been waiting for this chance for 2 years. I'm gonna dominate that race." "You're not scared of Anthony?" "Babe, the one thing I've got on Anthony is boarding. He's not even gonna leave the starting gate before I hit the bottom." Allie fell silent, and Mark let his previous train of thought rerail. He was many things, a romantic, a snowboarding genius, but outgoing he had never been. He had tried, of course. When he started dating Allie, he had thrown himself into the social scene with a zeal he even now admired. Tried to be the social butterfly, the hit of every party. He was a rising star in the snowboarding world, after all. He was smart and funny and hot, and damn it, how hard could it be? "I've heard some stories," Allie said finally, carefully. "I've done some research, and some of his opponents have gone missing." Mark shrugged. "Snowboarding's a dangerous sport. If you're not good, you die." Ellie's eyes widened. "Don't say that." He shrugged. "Relax, sweetie. I'm not going to die. I'm too good." "So what happened to these boarders?" "Their bodies turned up on some abandoned trails, and I don't think it's coincidence. All three were people Anthony was supposed to face off against." She met his gaze. "Supposed to lose to." "You think he's killing off his competition?" asked Mark, turning off the main street onto the winding mountain road towards his cabin. "And you think he's going to kill me because I've projected to beat him in the World Cup?" "It's not impossible," she insisted. He laughed. "Of course it's impossible. Allie, these are games. What does he do? Lure them into his cabin and shoot them? Maybe promise them candy inside?" She glared at him. "It's not a joke. Be careful. I don't want you to die." He nodded. "All right. If it'll make you happy, I won't die." They were at his house. Mark killed the engine and jumped out, walked over to escort her. His booted feet crunched on the hard snow. The crisp night air smacked his skin, and he looked about, enjoying the beauty of his home. Conifer trees stretched tough roots into the soil. Green needles gleamed. Trails wended down the mountain into darkness. Snow gleamed with reflected starlight, white in the darkness. He slipped his arm around Allie's soft waist and followed the path to his front door. He let them in, flicked the lights on, and led Allie to the luxurious couch in the family room off to one side. An electric fire popped into existence as he flipped a switch. Allie smiled and lay against him on the cushions. He looped an arm over her, enjoying the warmth of her body against his. Her chest rose and fell against him, rhythmic and peaceful. He sighed. He had known he was in love with her for months. Knew she felt the same, but there were moments when it still threatened to overwhelm him. Moments when he felt so at peace, so completed by her presence, that it made his life before her feel like a facsimile of humanity. Idly, he wondered whether there was more basis for her fears about Anthony than coincidence and random accidents. He doubted it. Violence and clandestine killings were for Edgar Allan Poe. In the real world, people didn't simply kill anyone they felt threatened by. The doorbell rang. He groaned, not wanting to move, but he climbed out from under her and walked to answer it. His socked feet slapped against the granite floors. Wondering who in God's name showed up at his house at 11 p.m., he opened the door and stared. What the hell? It was Anthony. Mark's eyes widened at the sight of the man-shaped creature on his porch. His brow wrinkled. Anthony grinned, not expecting visitors. He stepped in, forcing Mark to dodge to the side. He looked around, taking in the dim light, the shadows in the corner big enough to conceal a body, the two padded chairs and coffee table that filled a chunk of the otherwise bare room. "Don't worry, dude. I'm in and out. Bet you have better things to do than hang with another boarding legend." He kept smiling, pleased at Mark's momentary inability to speak. "What do you want?" Mark tried and failed to appear less bewildered by his competitor's unexpected arrival. "Actually, I came with an invitation. I'm having a party tonight. I'm headed there now. You guys want to come?" "Jesus," Mark whispered, awed. Anthony, the snowboarding legend, the single most popular youth in the country, wanted to hang out with him. Allie appeared in the doorway to Anthony's right. She was almost bouncing. "I'd love to. Come on, Mark, let's..." Suddenly, she caught sight of the figure in the doorway, realized who it was. "No, we're not going." "You're going, bitch. It's just a matter of whether I smash your face in first." Anthony almost snarled at the thought. His teeth glinted, suddenly sharp and deadly, before he regained control. He cursed his loss of control, hoped neither of the mortals had seen it. They wouldn't know what it meant. He was the only demon in the world, last he'd heard, but it would unnerve them. "Come on, Allie," he said, tones hypnotic. His eyes burned into hers as he exerted his will. "This is going to be the party of a century. You don't want to miss it just because of some misplaced dislike of me." His mind bore down on hers, forcing her to do as he wished. "Of course," she said. She sounded dazed. "Mark, let's go. I was wrong about Anthony. I think we should go." Anthony's lips moved as he moved the words she was saying. Mark glanced at her, torn. She looked back at him earnestly. "This is going to be amazing, Mark. Let's go." Finally, Mark nodded. "All right." He turned to Anthony. "Give me directions and we'll follow you." "Dude!" Anthony stared at him like he was an idiot. He gestured outside. "I brought my 456 sedan. Not as cool as a spider, but you can't tell me you don't want to ride." Mark followed him out the door, his gaze caught on the Ferrari. Blazing red, an embodiment of wealth and reckless power. Holy shit. Anthony smirked. This was going to be easier than he thought. Allie followed, and the three jumped in. Anthony gummed the engine, spun a 180, tires squealed in the snow, and streaked down the mountain road. He slid along turns and glided down straightaways like oiled lightning. Trees and snowy cliffs blurred past. Cars hurled by, flashes of headlights gone in an instant as the car hit 120. Allie smelled terrified, but Mark's eyes glittered with the thrill. They spun down a narrow road and slid to a stop outside Anthony's house. Anthony hopped out, watched the human's eyes as they stepped out and the structure struck them like a lightning bolt. It was massive, three stories of big rooms and slanted roofs that sprawled across a full acre of cleared forest. Light poured from floor-to-ceiling windows, and music pounded across the car-filled driveway. Anthony gave them a moment to let the splendor sink in. Mark's mouth was open, eyes wide. Then he snapped his fingers to break their reverie and led them inside. A tall blonde girl opened the door, full breasts straining against her low-cut dress. Behind her, he could see dozens of people, hot girls and famous guys, chatting or draped over the furniture, drinks in hand. "This is Mark," he gestured to the youth. "Coolest kid in the world, hell on a snowboard. He's me, V2. Treat him like it." She grabbed Mark's fingers and pulled him over. Anthony could see the holy shit in his eyes as she led him to a group of friends. Allie pursed her lips before she caught sight of a crowd chanting around a beer pong table. She started towards them, glanced back at Mark, and stopped. Don't worry about Mark. Anthony could read the conflict in her eyes. Nothing's going to happen. My girls respect the sanctity of relationships. Go have fun. It was a lie, but what the hell? She didn't move. He locked eyes with hers, gaze burning once more, and she slipped towards the pong table in a trance. Gets easier every time. Anthony slipped away to join a group of friends. He joked and chatted with half his mind, the rest fixated on his plan. Had Mark glimpsed the hot tub in the back, the lake that made Anthony's house the most expensive property in Leeds? He watched Allie, trash-talking as she tossed ping-pong balls. She high-fived her partner, chugged a cup of beer, and joked with the guy across from her. Had Mark seen? Had he noticed how at home she was? Anthony shook his head. He couldn't afford any mistakes. If Mark didn't lust for Anthony's glorious life, the whole plan might fail. If that happened, Anthony would have to kill him. One of the girls made a joke, and he laughed, caught her eye. Then his gaze slid across the party, searching. There. Mark sat on one of the leather couches, pressed between a girl and a guy, and ill at ease. He shook his head and shivered, upright and too tense against the youths lounging around him. Someone tossed him a beer, and he made a joke, then glanced rapidly around like he was counting laughs. Anthony snorted. A baby brother trying to make the big boys like him. Pathetic. The beautiful brunette next to him traced a fingernail over Mark's muscled arm. A Teen Vogue model, September 2008 cover girl. Come on, baby, relax, she sighed. She slipped an arm around him and leaned close. Trust me, it's more fun when you do. Her luscious hair fell across his chest. One of the guys told him how awesome he was. Anthony's enhanced ears caught the words clearly over the roar of the party. Mark grinned and relaxed. Of course the group was pandering to him. Mark sensed it, Anthony saw. Hopefully it would eat at him the sense of inferiority, of having something dangle just outside his abilities. After tonight, both boarders knew this was never going to happen again. A girl pressed against him, and he draped an arm around her wine-smooth shoulders, eyes still on Mark, waiting. After a few minutes, he nodded. Mark had fallen into the rhythm of the party, talking and cracking jokes, enjoying the beautiful girls that crowded around him. He was torn between basking in Anthony's life and being overwhelmed by it. It was time. Anthony disengaged from his group and walked to join Mark. Enjoying yourself? Mark beamed up at him. Yeah, man, thanks. Thought you'd like it. But you haven't seen anything yet. Come on, check this out. His eyes gleamed with promise. Mark drained his apple and vodka mix and hopped up. I'm down. What have you got? One of the girls reached for him. When you're finished, you better come find me. The demon led Mark along a hallway, down a flight of stairs into a deserted room. The light was dimmer. The walls felt closer after the spacious upstairs. Pounding music barely reached them. Anthony, this party is sick. Mark was almost bouncing. I know, dude. I could give it to you if you want. Mark's forehead crinkled, puzzled, and Anthony explained. Not the party, he laughed. The lifestyle. I'm the most famous 20-year-old in the world. I have parties like this every night. People flock to me. I could give that to you. The mortal's eyes shone. How? Anthony ignored him. You think I was born like this? A social god? I make myself a socialite, and I can do it for you. Think about it. His eyes shone. A full house every night. The coolest people in the world admiring you, hanging off every word. You could have any girl you want, any day. Mark shook his head imperceptibly, and Anthony cursed himself. Of course. Even if you're loyal to Allie. Which would be chill. I can respect a guy like that. You can be beating off the girls with sticks, instead of wondering why you don't have to. He could see the yearning in Mark's eyes, smell the unanswered question. Why didn't he? And the sense of inferiority it heralded. He grinned. Hell, it'd probably help your relationship with Allie. You know her. She's a partier. She only likes social guys. Another lie, but it fit the myth Mark had constructed. Anthony watched the verbalization of the mortal's fear stab at him. You want to be the best boyfriend, make her really love you, learn to party. Mark stared at him, mouth dry, pained but hopeful. How? Don't worry about that. Just do me a favor. Drop out of the World Cup. Mark sucked in his breath. Anthony watched him consider, hoping. If he decided wrong, Anthony would have to kill him. His fingers hardened into claws at the thought, and he hid them behind him so Mark wouldn't see. Mark shook his head. Sorry, man. I want what you've got, but the World Cup? It's my life. I win it, suddenly my career turns golden. Your career's already golden. Dude, everyone here knows your name. They think you're me, but faster. You don't need the cup. Yeah, I do. This thing's my life. The cup and Allie. I can't drop out. Anthony snarled. How about I break your legs, you pathetic bastard? You'll never even walk again. Mark's eyes widened. His gaze jerked upstairs, then back, fear-stricken, to Anthony. The demon grinned. Nobody's gonna care. Those are my boys. I could break you right now. It wasn't technically true, Anthony knew. All Mark had to do was scream, and the partiers upstairs would come running. One cry, and Anthony would have to back off, act normal for his companions. He slid towards Mark across the almost bare room and let his teeth show, hoping the shock would keep Mark's voice paralyzed. His eyes gleamed. Mark caught his breath. The mortal staggered backwards, clutching at the walls. He almost fell, found himself in a corner with Anthony barely a foot away. Fine, fine. I drop out. I'm done. Good. Anthony's fangs retracted and he took a step back. Suddenly he was the charming partier again. Because I like you. I didn't want to hurt you. But I've got to win. Mark nodded, still shaken. I'll pull out tomorrow. Don't worry. He paused. Although, I still want your secret. Anthony almost laughed. Damn, at least the kid had balls. He grabbed a glass from the table to one side, the substance he had perfected decades ago, and passed it to Mark. Drink this. The fluid bubbled dark and noxious. It smelled like rotting bodies, a soul ripped from earthly bindings. Anthony hadn't been able to disguise its essence completely. It wouldn't kill Mark, of course. If the demon wanted Mark dead, there were easier ways. It would grant him everything he yearned for, but at a price he couldn't imagine. Mark stared at it, incredulous. He winced at the dead smell. Anthony knew he had no idea what the concoction did, but most mortals could sense that it was something bad. What is it? My secret, Anthony shrugged. It doesn't look good, but trust me, this stuff works. This isn't some shit you see on the infomercial at 1 a.m. If this stuff isn't legit, you know where to find me. Hell, if it doesn't work, bring the cops. That would be fun. He hadn't killed a cop in years. Mark eyed it, still dubious. Anthony bared his fangs. Come on, dude. Do this for me. You don't want me as an enemy. Suddenly his tone shifted. Never mind, Mark. Do it for yourself. You drink this, think of the possibilities. Suddenly you're the coolest kid around. Everyone adores you. Girls love you. Guys flock to you. He grinned. And trust me, Allie will thank you. He met Mark's eyes. You know her. You know what she likes. Drink this, you become the perfect boyfriend. Mark's eyes flicked upstairs towards where he knew Allie waited. He mouthed, for you. Anthony smirked at the cliche, but didn't say anything. Then Mark nodded and tipped it back.
So what would you do for power, glory, adoration? What would you do to keep it? I guess it's a good thing Fear Factor isn't on anymore. I think Anthony would have a ball. I'm going to break away for some good news, bad news. First the good. As most of you know, I finally started putting some money into the look and feel of the site. With that, we have a new address. There shouldn't be any issues with your subscription. You should be able to get it just the way you always have. But I'd like for you to come visit us at shadowcastaudio.com. Let us know what you think of the place. And if you have any suggestions, we'd love to hear them. Also, while you're there, you might notice we're closed for submissions temporarily. If you look closer, you'll see why. Starting October 1st, The Masters of Horror, the anthology, is coming to Shadowcast. That's right, 16 weeks, 16 stories, from writers all over the world, including my very first publication, a short story called Once Seen. I'm working through the promotional ideas at the moment, but each of you will have a chance to win an ebook copy, and a few will win a signed print edition. I'll give more details as we get closer to the actual date. I'm really excited to get started. In fact, I have a host of readers lined up who are working on it already. The next order of business is a little less cheery, but as most of you know, our dear editor, Tia Brink, had heart surgery last week. Well, it didn't go well, and so she's scheduled for a triple bypass on Tuesday. There are more details on the site, as well as on her site at TiaLBrink.com. Suffice to say, it's going to be a hard road to recovery, so please, if you can, check out the chip-in fund I created for her on the site. I also wanted to thank all of you who have given to her so far. I know it means everything to her to know that there are those of us out who really do care and wish her nothing but the best. Now, I can almost hear her getting all girly and mushy, so I'm going to get off of it and tell you that this week's music was courtesy of Christopher Carlson. You can find more of his inspiring collection at christophercarlson.com. Also, this episode was produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. And of course, thanks for listening. Stay well.